Take me where the promises are real.
And So he ended up being the father of my child. And I had stopped when I got pregnant. I had stopped doing drugs. And I had stopped drinking. I remember like 3 months into me being pregnant, I hit the pregnancy about 4 months. And I went and told my parents, who were definitely against any kind of interracial dating, told them that I was pregnant and my child was mixed. And my family was not happy. At that point, I was completely just exiled, you know. My dad still was there for me, but it's just, I really, like, if I wasn't the black sheep before, I was definitely the black sheep then. I had my daughter. Once again, I was seeking love in all the wrong places, right? I chose somebody who did not love himself or love me or love his child, you know? And about 6 weeks into it, my daughter was 6 weeks old. He choked me until I couldn't breathe, and I left in the middle of the night. So my child's 6 weeks old, and I'm homeless. And me and her are homeless for about 3 months. I went to go to my parents were like, you can go to a homeless shelter. So I was just living from couch to couch with my daughter. I ended up moving to Newman, where my family is on my mom's side. They took us in. I started my career doing hair. I was doing very well. Still was drinking. I was using, of course. But I stopped the cocaine use, you know. Had a daughter, and I was like, but I was heavily drinking. I was zanning and zenning, okay? Every night I'd be drinking wine, I'd be popping the Xanax. That was my deal. So my daughter was about 4 years old, and I was doing really well in my career, and someone had pulled out a bag of cocaine, and I did it. And for the next 2 years, I was barely holding it together. For some reason, I was excelling in my career. I don't know how. I guess I was functioning at that point. I was dating guys who just were not, did not love me or care about me in any way, shape, or form. Still that same kind of cycle where I was just seeking love in everywhere else. I wasn't seeking love in my daughter. I wasn't seeking love inside myself. I wasn't seeking love in my career or God, you know. And went through that, and then I met this guy. And I knew that I should not have been dating this man at all. But he had introduced me to the very deep, dark depths of Atlanta drugs. I went to Zone 3 for the first time. It was a little field trip to Lakewood. If y'all know about Lakewood, Lakewood's a small part of Atlanta. And I was like, oh my God, this is so fun. I get to go into a trap house. Like, you know, like, I just felt like, I was like, this is a whole other realm. Like, I'm used to, like, you know, partying and doing, like, shooting something. Like, this is insane, you know. And I remember I did it, and I was hooked. I was hooked immediately. It was a whole other realm. And I would be dressed like this. Hey, can I get a bag? And they'd be like, all right, white girl, whatever you want. And so I did. And through that, I was hooked, you know. And I started dating this guy. I mean, he was a product of his environment when he was here. And one night, we were in a hotel room, and I was drunk, and he was like, do you want to try something? And I was like, what do you mean? And he was like, do you want to just hit this? And I was like, what is it? And he's like, just hit it. And I hit it, and I was hooked. I was like, oh my God, I've never, like, experienced crack cocaine before. That was cocaine on a whole other level. And that is where my nightmare really, really began. this man, when he would get high, he would become extremely violent. It was like he would switch. I was held hostage. I was tied up. I had to cut off all my hair because I was drug across the floor multiple times. Every time he got high, he would strip me naked, beat me in the hood, and come back and get me. And, I mean, it was just, it was degrading and it was awful, you know. And I kept wanting a different outcome, you know. I was like, every time I got high, maybe it'll be different this time. Like, maybe he will, it'll be like that first time when I felt like he could, you know. And it didn't. It got worse. I almost died multiple times. One of the last times before he had choked me, and I passed out, and I was ready to go. I was like, I'm done. Like, I can't do this anymore. Like, because I was scared to leave. You know, I was terrified to leave because he wouldn't let me leave. I mean, he would drag me back in the house. You know, And I remember this time I passed out, and I was like, this is it. I'm going to die. And I remember seeing my daughter in this like little white dress, right? And God was literally like, I seriously felt this, you know, I'm not done with you yet. And somehow he got me back conscious again, and you know, at this point I'm starting to get sick. I'm like, I gotta figure out how to get out of this. It was another night, and he had held me hostage, I think, about 13 hours in a park in Lincoln. And my eye was cut open. I was just bruised and beaten really bad. And he looked at me, because he was a psychotic. And he looked at me and he was like, I'm about to put you into this trunk, and you're going to die today. And you know, when you look at somebody as evil and as sick as that, you know, like, you feel it. I was like, I don't care, I'm going to die, you know? And I had manipulated him to go to the store and get a lighter, and I jumped out of the car. I left my money, I left my phone, I left everything. I was half naked, and I ran. And I was beside a gas station, and I was bleeding out. And God sent this woman from the Boys and Girls Club down the street, and she found me, and brought me there. That's where all these little kids were around. And I was just so embarrassed. And my dad came and got me, and he looked at me, and he was like, Madeline, you're about to be on the longest, hardest road of your entire life. And I was like, I'm not addicted. You know, like, I still was like, I'm not an addict. I'm not like you. I'm not like you. I'm not like my mom. Like, I'm different. And he took me to the CAP Crisis Center, and I can honestly say that is the last time I really truly felt love for my dad. On a serious level. He held my hand and he took me back, and they would not accept me because I was pregnant. I get in the car, and he calls his wife, and she was like, just drop her off somewhere. We don't need another drug addict in our lives. You know? And, I got dropped off, and I had to make the hardest decision I've ever had to make in my life. And I obviously did not have a baby, you know. And I had to abort the baby. If anybody who says that they just get rid of it because they just want to get rid of it, that's bullshit. That is one of the hardest things a woman can go through. And I'm sure there are many women in this room that have had to do that. I laid on the table, and I really hated myself on a whole other level. COVID hit. You know, I'm there with my 5-year-old. I lost everything at this point. I lost my apartment. I lost my car. I lost two cars. I had an Airbnb business. I mean, like, I was doing well before I started getting on drugs. I lost everything. And, COVID hit. I couldn't take it. The guy ended up getting arrested. He went to prison. But I couldn't take it. I was sitting there and I was trying. I was like, I'm not going to do anything. Like, I'll be good. I was just thankful to be safe for the first time in like 6 months, you know? and I'm alone with my daughter, and I thought that that was going to be enough, and being locked down was like, I was already a prison, like a prisoner of my own self, and then I was a prisoner within this house. And I was with my mom, who I had tons of resentment for, who I blamed my addiction at that time on her. So I was off to the races. Of course, meet another drug dealer, go back to Lakewood, meet another drug dealer. But he would have never approved of me doing my drug of choice, right? Like, I was of a different stature. I don't know, but he was not okay with that. So I didn't do that, but I was heavily doing cocaine again. I, of course, got back and came out again. My mom finally was like, it was my 30th birthday, and I'd gone out, and I had celebrated. And the next morning was when I relapsed again on crack cocaine. And I went to a trap, and I just met somebody that lived on the side. I mean, literally just went there and just met somebody. And the day after my 30th birthday, I was shoved on a toilet and raped. And I was like, damn, something's got to get, you know. And so my mom went home. My mom was like, if you don't go get help, you can get the hell out of my house. And we're going to take your daughter away from you. And, so I went, and I got help. I did my multi-28-day tour of Riverwoods and Anchor Hospital, and, you know, during COVID, they didn't have AA, you know? I didn't have AA. I mean, they did online, but I was like, how is that going to help me? You know, and how much IOP is going to cost? So I just went over and over again, and this went on for about 4 months, and I was going through a serious identity crisis. I mean, I thought I was a lesbian, I got a girlfriend, like, because she was, like, financially, like, helping me, you know? So I was like, I hate men right now, so why not, you know? And, of course, she was really toxic. So, women are way on another level. but, no offense. I love women, but not like that. But anyway, so I was just trying to survive at this point, you know? I was trying to survive because my family was like, screw you, like, we're not sending you a dime. Well, this is when COVID, the stimulus checks started rolling in. And I got my first stimulus check. And I said, I'm going to the doctor. I'm going to get an Uber to the doctor. I did not go to the doctor. I Ubered right to Lakewood. And I ran out of money, of course, and I was sitting in the car, and they were like, why don't you send a kid out there and sell some pussy? And I was like, that's not, nope, I'm not doing it, and I wasn't going to do it. I wasn't going to do it. I knew I would really, really attach myself to that dark world. I mean, I followed this man get kidnapped in front of me, and I just didn't even care, you know, and I knew I was going to die. You know, I cut off, I literally burned every bridge, and I didn't know what to do, and I reached out to this lady who was in AA, and she was like 10, 13 or something, and I was like, okay, you know, and it says, you know, it always is in jails, institutions, or death, and I knew if I stayed out there that I was going to die. Like, I do it. And I was like, I refuse to be really part of this. Like, I might put my foot in the water, might turn to juice, but I'm not going to be part of this. I'm not built for the streets. So I'll tell you that right now. I'm not built for the streets. I'm just not. And, so I got out of the car. I told everyone to fuck off, because everyone had taken advantage of me at this point. And I ran as fast as I could to this old people's home, and I called a 1013 myself. And APD comes out, I'm like on the phone with this woman. It was the first time I experienced like serious love from someone that I had never experienced. So I was like, I don't know who these people are, they were there, she doesn't even know me, but she's helping me, you know? I'd never received that kind of love and help before. And So I am APD comes out. I'm like, am I going to be just like, no, you know, so I'm sitting in the car for about 2 hours waiting for Grady to get out there, and it was such a God thing, you know, and I was sitting in the car, and I was like, wow, if I keep going, like, this is going to be me catching felonies, you know, and I went to the hospital, and they were out of rooms on, like, the normal, like, just drug addict floor. I had to go to the most psychotic floor that there was. I mean, I'm like, okay, God, that's really funny. I mean, people were, I mean, wanting to murder me. People were wanting to jump off. I mean, people were trying to tie themselves up in the bathroom. I mean, it was really sad, you know? Like, I've never experienced, I mean, besides my ex, psychotic behavior and with that many people in the room, you know? And I got to wear these, like, socks with rubbers on them. I snuck my vape in somehow. I don't know. But it was the most, when I tell you, it was the most spiritual experience I have ever had. There was this little girl, and she was beautiful. She was mixed like my daughter, and I swear she looked just like her, but like 18 years old. And she was psychotic. And she kept coming to me and wanting me to, like, mother her, you know? And, of course, I did it, you know? And she would just hold me and hold on to me, and I was like, well, where's your mommy? And she had a tough time. She was a child, because that's about the level. She's like, she's in jail because she's a drug addict. And I swear to God, was like, and I was like, if I don't get my shit together, because me and my daughter have such a strong bond, that would have really, if I had just kept going and she had lost me, my daughter would be stuck with the same generational shit, if not worse, you know. And so I got out of the hospital, and I was like, well, obviously these treatments are not working. So I called Sober Living America, and called Sober Living America, and I sat in that chair over there, and I said, I was sober with her, and I was wearing a wig, like, I mean, I didn't want anybody to know, like, who I was on the inside, because I just felt like the worst being on the planet, you know. And I heard everyone talking, and I was like, wow, like, I'm with my people, you know, like, these people get it. And I begged, I said, can somebody please help me? I need help, you know, I don't want to continue this. And someone came up to me and was like, let's get you feeling better, you know, and she was my sponsor for a little while. And about 4 months in, I was like, I'm going to go get a car wash. I really need a car wash. I was still at Sober Living, and I was like, you know who gets the car wash? Okay? So I go back to Lakewood, and I'm like, let me get a car wash, you know? I really was not intending it really well, okay? But I was with somebody I probably should not have been with, you know? I was with same drug dealers, you know, and when I knew it, I was like, let me get an Adderall, you know, and that Adderall, this girl went cold on me, and I got freaked out about it, and this time it was different, though. I went back to my friend, who was a drug dealer, and he got me a hotel for the night, and he's like, let me just get a bag. He's like, Madeline, you don't have to do this. And I was like, yeah, I do. I mean, I just got kicked out, you know. So, it was different than that. You know, I sat in this hotel room with my bag, and that was it, you know. And I was like, this? And I was out of money, right? So, calling a sex stat line, and was hoping that somebody would give me money on Cash App, which is crazy. I was so crazy, but, and, like, 1997 style, you know, like, and, I had just gotten this district manager job of a salon in Atlanta, and I was, like, doing well, and, I called my best friend, and I was like, I relapsed, and then he was like, I already know you relapsed, like, I already know, And this was the first form of really true love that, like, I had experienced in this room, you know. And he came to the Econo Lodge off, what was it, Cleveland Avenue? Moreland Avenue. And he said, girl, get up. Girl, get up. Get up. You're not going to stay here. And I did. And I got a new sponsor, and I worked the steps, and I actually lived with my sponsor for about 9 months, which is different, I know, but it worked out. And I got involved, and I stuck with the winners. And I did my steps, and I did service work. And I got a connection to my higher power that I had never had before. And I made my own thing. But during those 9 months, I prayed to God, please, God, bring me back to my daughter. Please bring me back to my daughter. So I ended up getting my dream job at this salon that I've wanted to work at forever, since I was in high school. And life does a big time, you know. And I got it, and I was working there and still praying. I mean, that pain, I know that many of us have experienced not being with our children, is just gut-wrenching. I got this, I was trying to find an affordable place to live, you know, during this time. It was really hard. And I called around. I tried for so long, and I was really thinking, I'm like, it's going to be another 6 to 8 months, you know. And by the grace of God, I put in an application online for this little one-bedroom house. And it ended up being one of my own clients. And because I wanted to move back to Newton. And she was like, is this my hair salon, Mommy? And I was like, yes. And so God gave me this house. And also, you know, within that same week, I got my job back at the salon that I lost my job at due to my addiction. And that is not the promises that I'm promising. Because I never thought, you know, and I got my daughter back. And I'm still working this thing every single day, and some days it is really hard, you know. And I just recently had someone really close to me who I never thought would be left, you know. And it's like every day I wake up, I am at day one every single day, because I know it takes me being, you know, around the wrong person. It takes me, you know, being around any kind of temptation, you know. I'm still working my program, you know, and I'm going even deeper. What I'm learning about the second year of sobriety is it is getting emotionally sober from yourself. The first year I felt like was getting sober from alcohol and drugs. This is getting sober from myself, you know, and it's beautiful and it's raw and it's hard, you know, but I'm doing it. You know, because I don't ever want to go back to that place. And I have a love for myself now that is just so deep. And I will never be with somebody like any of those people ever again. You know, and I'm very thankful, you know, for the relationships I have today, you know. And it's just so funny, like, being a mom now is so different. It is so different, you know, and my love for her is just, I mean, insane. Like, I don't need anybody else. Like, I have her, you know, and I will never take that for granted, but I also know that it can be taken away. Anyway, the other day, you know, we were driving, you know, because kids like to see every day. And my daughter was in the back seat, and she started school, you know, and she goes, Mommy, it feels so good seeing you happy. And I was like, oh, she's dead, and y'all. And she saw that. She's like, you are the best mommy I could ever ask for. And she notices that I'm happy. You know, I've been unhappy since she came out of the womb. you know? And I know that I did the best that I could with what I have. But I'm telling y'all right now, if you do this program, and you work these steps, and you stick with people who are doing the dance, don't stick with six people. Later on, you'll be able to hold back. If you hang around sick people, you're going to get your own sick. And that's what happened to me. That's why I went to Lakewood and got a car wash. So, you know, that's really about it. My life is great now, and I hope that helps anybody out there.
First I slip, and then I crept to a hope-filled dream. You rescued me, and finally, waking there I see. I look into love's window for a soul that's meant for me. Takes me where the promises are real. Sometimes quickly, sometimes slow, we get just what we need. On a broad highway, stride for stride, we walk eternally. Look into love's window for a heart. Where the promises are.